Thank you for listening to the Oasis Church podcast. To find out more about Oasis, including service times and directions, please visit our website at oasisla.org.
I want to tell you a story about a girl who was raised in the church. She attended a Christian church, and then as she got older, she stopped following Jesus. She stopped going to church, and she got older, she got married into a dramatically abusive marriage. And it was so violent and so abusive that she actually had to escape the marriage to get away with her life. And what she did was, instead of running to God in a crisis, she did what many people do, and she ran from God after this crisis. And so she found herself in a life of taking drugs to help medicate the pain and help give her a sense of aliveness. And she got deeper into drugs, and she got into very serious drugs. She was taking acid. She was taking heroin. She was taking so many different kinds of pills and drugs. She became a dealer. She was selling. And she did this for 10 years. She told me that she took so many different kinds of drugs, so much that it's a miracle that she could put a sentence together today. And she said her friends who were Christians began to reach out to her and invite her to church and talk to her about Jesus and try to encourage her back into a relationship. And so this girl named Karen went to a church in Texas and gave her life back to Jesus and began to go to this church for a while. She met a Christian man, and they got married, and right immediately after they got married, moved to L.A. And so they came shortly after moving there here to Oasis. And she said that for the first 3 months of her attending the Oasis, that during worship, she cried most of the time. It just was as if God was healing hurts in her life and freeing her from things and sort of bringing up stuff that she had pressed down over the years in her life. And so here is a young woman who was so close to death, so close to a destructive life and in a destructive life, and God rescued her. And she said that she began to get involved and serve and grow here at the Oasis into where she is free. She's now have been coming to Oasis for 8 years. She and her husband have been married for 8 years. They have not only got healing and hope for themselves, but they've been very instrumental in leading many of you and serving many of you in bringing hope and healing to others in the Oasis. And they're expecting their first baby in just a few months, and their life has changed. This is one story of literally thousands of stories that have occurred here over the last 28 years. And perhaps you have your own story. Maybe some parts of it worse, maybe some parts not so bad, but you've got your story, your journey, what's happened before you were walking with God, where he's taking you now. And, you know, I believe that this is the kind of story that matters to God, because every story is a heart and a person. And that's one of the reasons that God has chosen the church, the local church, to reach out to people in our world to bring hope and healing. And so that we can go from wherever we are, our broken places, into a place of strength, into a place of maturity, into a place of leadership, and having the kind of life that God wants us to have. You know, our series is called Heart for the House. And I believe that, like Bill Hybels says, the local church is the hope of the world. And I believe that many leaders have heard that statement and it resonated with them, because when the local church has people that are devoted to one another and devoted to God and devoted to a common vision, we are God's answer to the hurting people in our world. I like this story in 1 Kings chapter 9. It's a scripture there talking about when Solomon had built the temple for God. And in verse 3 of this, it says that the Lord came to him and said, "I've heard you pray to me. I have heard you ask me to show you my favor. You have built this temple. I have set it apart for myself. Now look, my name will be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. God's heart is in the house. When we read about the house of God or the house of the Lord or the temple of God, he's talking to us about the local church. And he said, my heart is there. I will be there forever. And our heart has to be where God's heart is. And that's what this is all about, having a heart for the house. Last week, I talked about having a heart for the house because the house is a place for worship. And today I want to talk to you about we should have a heart for the house because it's a place for spiritual growth. And spiritual growth is so important in our life. And as a pastor, I'm making decisions. I am planning and organizing. Our strategy is to help you so that you can grow in strength, that you can be spiritually mature in your life. And that will be because of your involvement here. So let me tell you three things about spiritual growth, okay? Number one, genuine spiritual growth involves dedication to, wait for it, genuine spiritual growth. I know this is a revelation here. Genuine spiritual growth depends on dedication to genuine spiritual growth. And my point is, it doesn't happen automatically. It doesn't happen randomly or accidentally. It comes by your intention. It comes by your investment. And sometimes Christians are happy just getting saved. We raise our hand, we pray a prayer, we have our salvation. But there's a big difference between accepting the gift of salvation and being a follower of Jesus Christ. Being a follower of Jesus Christ is what God is inviting us to, is asking of us. And this is where we flourish spiritually. In Psalm 92, verse 13, it says this. It's in the NIV version. It says, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. I'll explain that in a minute. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. So it's telling us that the righteous will grow. When they are planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish. And he says, will be like a palm tree. Well, that has significance because a palm tree is known for its stability and strength and a flexibility. See, because when storms come, wind storms, hurricanes, palm trees are built to go lean with the storm, almost go horizontal and come back. And so there's a flexibility. And we get the picture of, hey, we go through storms in life. We have heartbreaks and crises. And so you get pushed around, knocked about around in life. But when you're planted in the house of the Lord and you are strong spiritually, you spring back into that place of let's keep living for God. The cedar of Lebanon speaks of a tall tree of great strength that winds don't blow it over. The roots are deep and it goes high into the sky because of its strength. And that's the way our life should be when we are growing and we are planted in the house of the Lord. And so remember that when you pray the prayer of salvation, it's not just for a momentary rescue, but you're enlisting for a different way of living. You're enlisting in being a follower of him. You know, Jesus loves you just like you are. But he loves you so much, he doesn't want you to stay like that. He wants you to receive his forgiveness, receive his grace, receive vision and gifting, and then begin to change and grow. And let God change your heart. And sometimes I think we just want the kind of salvation that the thief got on the cross. Lord, save me. Take me to heaven. It's like, well, that was for him in that last moment. I think people get those moments sometimes before death. But we want to live the kind of life like, Lord, save me. And let me get down off this cross and turn this place around for Jesus and make a difference in the world. Look what it says in Ephesians chapter 4. And this is the New Living Translation. And this paints a perfect picture here for us. It says, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies that are so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we'll speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. So it combines a few things there, that we are no longer immature like children, that we're growing up in all ways, and we're connected to his body, the church. We have to grow up in our knowledge of God, the knowledge of his ways. We've got to grow up in how we apply it to our life, the decisions that we make, the behaviors that we have. We have to grow up in vision for our life. And so that we don't stay like babies, we don't stay like children, but we grow into mature men and women of God. It's so easy to be a baby because people take care of you and they feed you and they clean you up and they take care of your every need. And all you got to do is cry. All you got to do is whine. And some Christians try to do that. All I got to do is just whine. I need more of this and I don't like that. That's how we do church. And it's like, hey, how about let's jump in and help change something, help serve, help make a difference, you know, give to other people. There's a young man in our church that when he first came here, he was married. He had faith, but not very strong. Their marriage was on the rocks. They were on the verge of divorce. He and his wife came to this church, and they had both had a painful, difficult life. This young man, when he was a boy, was sexually abused. His father was either absent totally or present and abusive. His dad had fathered so many children around that they didn't even know how many kids he actually had. In fact, his sister went to school one time, got in a new class, met a girl, they became friends. After a period of time, they figured out they were sisters. They had the same dad. So this young man had become part of the Muslim faith, had been a Muslim for a while. And it showed he was looking for God. He was looking for strong male leadership. He was looking for structure and somebody to help him make a difference in his life. But later he became a Christian, and still struggling, he ended up here at the Oasis. And for years, he served. He did the work, allowed God to heal him, and made changes in his marriage. And he became a leader in our church. He became a staff member of our church. And now he's one of our pastors, Pastor Alex here. So I want you to know that whatever you've been through, whatever may has broken your life, it's not too big for God to put it back together and bring you into a place of strength where you can make a difference. And he's become a father in the house. He's a father of a young girl, and he's not abusive. He's loving and empowering. That can happen for you. Number two, genuine spiritual growth involves habits. Habits or disciplines. And I know creative people go, disciplines? I don't do discipline. Well, a disciple means a disciplined one. And so it doesn't mean that your whole life has to be disciplined and structured, but you have to be disciplined about certain things. And sometimes we like to use excuses. Some people are so disciplined they need to relax a minute, you know, and take a break. But many times we just aren't disciplined in the right areas. So if you're creative, just be creatively disciplined. And then after you do those disciplines in your life, then go with the flow. But habits are significant. Habits make us or break us. And it says in Colossians chapter 3 in verse 9 and 10, I really like this version, how they put it. It says, you have put off the old self with its habits and have put on the new self with new habits, you know, which God is continually renewing his own image to bring you into a full knowledge of himself. See, the early believers were devoting themselves to certain things in their life to grow and to flourish in their life, and it's their dedication. And so I want to tell you about some habits or disciplines that could change your world, could give you the best year that you've ever had. And have you heard the book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People?
Yes.
This has nothing to do with that. But I want to tell you seven habits of a follower of Jesus, all right? Seven habits of a genuine follower of Jesus Christ. Number one is getting dedicated to a local church. You know, sometimes in our language we say getting planted, and people may not know what that means, but it means just getting dedicated, getting involved. You know, getting your heart in there and building relationships. You know, having leadership in your life, being mentored, and finding places to serve, and having people who know you and care about you. This is so significant in our life. Let me tell you this. I believe this with all my heart. We demonstrate our dedication to Jesus Christ himself and the body of Christ at large by our dedication to the local church. Since only one person responded, I'm going to do it one more time. Because it's a massive concept, all right? So what I said is our dedication to Jesus Christ himself and the body of Christ is demonstrated and evidenced by our dedication to a local church. No. I just wanted to make sure you're breathing and you got this, you know, because it's important. And so, in fact, I think you should just nudge the person next to you and say, pay attention to these seven things right now, because this is really important. It's going to make a difference. Quit texting right now, because Pastor Philip has something important to say. All right. Okay, number two, spend time daily in Bible reading and prayer. You know, and when I wrote that down, I looked at it and I went, that sounds so boring. You know, so to most people, when they look at that, they think, okay, this is like doing 27 push-ups every day and I have no interest. But this time of reading the Word is letting God speak to you, and prayer is where you encounter God. And a lot of people don't do it because they don't know how. We don't know, what do I do? We need an idea. And so that's part of what we're trying to help you with. You know, this is, I put a blog up that talked about how to have a great personal time with God. Have you ever heard the term quiet time? Yeah, people often refer to this as you need to have a quiet time. Well, let me tell you, I think they came up with that because of that scripture that says, be still and know that I'm God. You know, there's so much clutter in our life and noise and things pulling on us that we need to, like, lower our RPMs for a minute and talk to God. But I have to be honest, when things are quiet too long, I get distracted, my mind wanders, I got ADD, I go and think about other things, and then I'm out of time and I forgot I was praying. And so I have this new thing in personal time. I like to do mine loud. You know what I mean? I mean, I like God. I like to listen loud. I don't want to be half asleep when I'm doing my personal time, you know? So have a coffee, turn the music up, worship God, do something. But sometimes I just get up and I start praying. I say, oh God, fill me with your spirit today. And I pray for my family. I pray for my friends. I pray for that person's marriage. And Lord, I ask you to intervene. I'm praying out loud, you know? And so I just think sometimes when God speaks loud to us and we speak loud, it keeps us engaged. You know, and my mind has never wandered when I was praying loud. And so, you're always like, I don't want people to hear me, but, you know, maybe you do. You husbands, if your wives are asleep, you go, I don't want to do that. I wake up my wife. She would love to know that her husband is talking to God and praying. She can put a pillow over her ear if she needs to, but you should just have a personal time, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, something where you engage with God. It is crucial in our life. It's a time of Bible reading and prayer, okay? So number three, building genuine relationships with other dedicated believers. This is the third habit. The habit of building genuine relationships. It's the Bible word is fellowship. But listen, this is so important, and it's true for every human being. Who you connect with the most will impact you the most. You'll start to be like them, think like them, act like them in many ways. Some you don't even notice. The Bible tells us in one point, I don't have the scripture up for you. I think it's 1 Corinthians 15 if you want to write it down. But it says, be not deceived that bad company corrupts good morals. And so we are called to love the broken, and we should. And we should reach out to people who are hurting and embrace them, love them like they are, bring them along. But you've got to spend as much time with a solid, dedicated believer than you would a needy person, a broken person, a dysfunctional person on the mend, letting God heal them. Nobody's perfect. But the people that speak into your life have to be dedicated people, because it affects you. It changes who we are. And so that's why it's good to come to the house of the Lord. That's why it's good to get in small groups and serve and meet people and find people in similar ways of life that have a passion to have a great marriage, to honor God with their life, because it rubs off on you. And it inspires you. It helps you to be able to help the hurting. This happens with everybody. And I'm telling you, I raised two children. They're both in their 20s. And every stage of life, elementary school, middle school, high school, there's no surprise. Whenever they started acting like someone else's child, Holly, look what your kid is doing. It always had something to do with who they were hanging out with. And there's a part of it where you really can't do much about it because they go to school. But, you know, it's like elementary school. Guess what? I'm like, wow, where did you hear that? You know, and parents always shocked by what their kids learn. But we used to always think about managing their relational life to get them around other people that have a different way of acting. Their home is different. Their parents are different. And the same thing, you know, every teenager goes through teenage stuff and attitudes. And, you know, but if you're around the wrong people, your attitude can be like teenage on steroids, you know. And you're just like, and it was no mistake. It was all of a sudden you start looking at this and you think, okay, you need some time with normal people. And sometimes we just would invest extra time, take them out of school, hang out with them, do things just so they'd start acting a little normal again. And it's because whoever you hang out with, that's what happens in your life. But you know what? As pastoring 28 years, it's not just a kid thing or a teenage thing. I've noticed that with adults, husbands who start lusting for other women and considering an affair. It's not because of the committed Christian family that they're hanging out with. It's somebody else that's speaking into their life. That's one habit. Another habit is number 4. I know that. I got my notes right here. Number 4 is living a spirit-led life. In fact, that's what I was doing. I said, Lord, do you want me to do something else for number 4? Then I guess not. Listen, daily pray and ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Humble yourself and say, Lord, I cannot do my business on my own. I need your influence. I can't be the father I need to be without the Holy Spirit. I can't be the mother I need to be. Holy Spirit, fill me. Every time I come on this platform, I say, God, fill me with your Spirit. Lord, use me. I need your strength. I need your power. We need that every day. You need the power of the Holy Spirit and being filled by the Holy Spirit to pray like we're talking about praying, to serve like we're talking about serving, to live this life. You got to have God's Spirit. You got to be filled with the Spirit to love people that you're supposed to love. How many of you noticed that? Yeah. Look straight ahead. And so, listen, I pray. Some of you, you could pray first thing in the morning. And the problem is that we get filled with the Holy Spirit, but we leak. And so by the time you get on the freeway, drive a little bit, by the time you get to work, you hate people. It's like, Lord, I leaked all over the freeway. Fill me again here before I go into the office. We need to be filled with His Holy Spirit. It's a must-be habit. Jesus said, the best thing for you is that I'm leaving and I'm given the Holy Spirit. Did you ever think that wouldn't it be cool if you could just walk with Jesus and around Jerusalem and just be there and see? But what he says is, Philip, it's better for you that I go away and that you have the Holy Spirit. That's where the miraculous is, right there in my Holy Spirit. Let's get filled with the Holy Spirit in our life. And then number 5 is giving yourself by serving or ministering in the local church. Jesus said, if you're a follower of me, you serve. You don't want to follow me, don't serve. I don't know how much clearer to get it. But we volunteer at nonprofit organizations. But when at the house of the Lord, we serve. We are ministers. You know, I tell our volunteers, we call them the dream team. That's our new name for the volunteers, the dream team. Because they make the dream happen for God, for His house. It makes people who need to find God's dream for their life. This is the team that gets it done. And so, say, don't see yourself as somebody helping people park, or don't see yourself as somebody taking care of someone's kid. You're in ministry. This is your ministry for God. And we've got to have that in our life. A place to serve, a place to honor God in that way. Number 6, having financial integrity with God is a habit of a genuinely devoted believer. And here's the thing is, the Bible is so clear with us about honoring God with this area of our life. And a lot of people in our mind, we like to say, well, I'm focusing on spiritual things and this is a financial deal. God is always intermingling them. Jesus is making them one and the same. Christianity is a faith that has to do with financial honor and integrity. There's no such thing as two separate deals. So the Bible teaches us, honor God with the tithe. The tithe is that 10%, that first part of your income. And it says, bring it into the house. There it is again. Bring the tithe into the storehouse. And so it doesn't even say that we could give them because they're His. He goes, here's how it works. The first 10% is mine. And then you ask me for wisdom on the other 90. You look for ways to fulfill God's purpose. I'll lead you. I'll bless you. But you honor God with that. And so that is so important. And sometimes we miss out on that blessing of honoring God. And so I want to encourage you to honor God financially so that you bring that tithe to Him. Because the Bible says that's where we'll get blessed. We need God's blessing to live this life. We need God's blessing to live in L.A. It's expensive here. Like, Lord, you sent me here. You got to help me out. Give a brother some bread for the day, you know. That's the message version of that. And but many of us, we live in debt. We are struggling. A lot of times people say, well, I can't tithe because my finances are messed up. I think you can't help but tithe. I think that's when you need it the most, is that you need God's blessing in your life. But to focus on honoring God with your tithes and then managing that other 90 well. And we have connect groups coming up just in a few weeks, and we have many financial groups. We have groups that go over Dave Ramsey's books and material. It has helped people so much. We've had so many people get paid off thousands and thousands of dollars of debt by going through this and understanding. Holly and I, we've been married 26 years, and we bought this Dave Ramsey course and brought it in, and we took our staff through it, 30, 35 people through this. And it just really helped a lot of the young people learning how to handle their finances. But honestly, Holly and I, we needed it ourselves. We're just like, oh, this area we need to straighten up, and this we were kind of lax on, and this really makes sense. And so, you know, you kind of drift in what you're doing, and this just helped us. And you think, you can't say, well, I've been around a while, that's not important. It's like, we're getting older, it's very important that we have it together. It's not like we got endless time to cover all the things that we need to in God's plan for our life. And so, that is an important part, having financial integrity in our life. And the last one is sharing your faith. Let your light shine, you know. Tell your story. Tell the story of Jesus. A lot of Christians are shy about sharing their faith. And I understand, because there's a lot of judgment and animosity about people who love Jesus. There's a lot more tolerance for just ordinary religious people or Jewish people or Muslim or any other kind of thing. But when you start talking about Jesus and Christianity, people get upset. And we don't want to upset people. But Jesus said this, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. I don't even know what that means, but I don't want it going on in my life. It just didn't sound good, in whatever version that is. I don't want to be having any of that in my life. So, you know what? I've been given this assignment to our leaders and our staff. And here's the assignment. I want you to figure out a 3-minute version of your story. 180 seconds. 180. And be prepared. Ask God to help you. And what this is 2 or 3 things about your life before you BC. And then what happened, what you did to trust Jesus, what happened to make that happen. And then 2 or 3 things that are now, I'm giving thanks to God. Things are, you know, my marriage was saved, or my marriage collapsed, but God has turned my life around, and I'm redeeming my life now. Or, you know, just what's your story? Because so I'm giving you all the assignment. Ha ha! You just thought it was for somebody else. I'm asking all of you to prepare a 3-minute story. Because you know what I'm going to do? I've been meeting people in the lobby. Hey, this is great. I love you, the church. I'm going to just grab a staff person and go, come over here. Tell them your story. They go, what story? The 3-minute one. Here you go. Ready? Start. And because we ought to be able to share it. Nobody can tell you your story is a lie. It's your experience. You know, you might say, I was hopeless, had nothing going for me. And it doesn't matter what somebody else thinks. That's what your story, that's how you saw it. And Jesus did this, and now I'm going to change the world, or whatever is happening. But you got to share your faith. Now, these are 7 things. And when somebody begins makes a decision to follow Jesus, this is what we tell them. Do these 7 things. And Christians get an idea that as you grow in your faith, you've been around a while, then those things aren't that important. But I'm telling you, this is what people do when they are strong, when they are mature, when they are leaders. They do those things at a deeper level, a more heartfelt level, with more understanding. It's it's like we think that we're going to get some kind of special revelation, or we're going to hear voices, or we like to look spooky so that people think we're really gone. It's like, no, I wouldn't hire anybody that like that on a leadership team at our church, just so you know. But I'm looking for people who do those 7 things with integrity and with heart, and it's changed them, and it makes a deeper sense to them, and it's changed who they are, and it's how they live their life, because they're genuine and they're following Jesus. That's what we need to do in our life. And so, the first thing I said, genuine spiritual growth involves dedication to genuine spiritual growth. And genuine spiritual growth involves habits. And I'll just say one more thing, is that I don't think I've ever met a Christian. I know I've never seen a Christian who was strong, mature, and compassionate who did not invest themselves in these values and disciplines. Let me say it another way. I've never seen a Christian who was strong, mature, or compassionate who did not invest themselves in these values and disciplines. Actually, that was exactly the same, but I just wanted to repeat it, you know, for emphasis. Third thing, last thing before we get ready to pray here, is genuine spiritual growth involves a heart for the house. It's sort of what the theme is all about, that we care about what Jesus cares about. That we say, Lord, show me how to love like you love. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Make what's important to you important to me. Because you know what I can tell you is that you can't have a heart for the house because you've been talked into it. You can't be convinced to have a heart for the house. It's something that God does. Now, you can shut it out. You can say, no, I don't want to listen to that. Or you can open up and say, God, show me what you want me to do. Have your work in me. I want to have a heart like you have. It has to be a heart encounter. It's not going to happen from some incredible sermon that you heard at 2:00 in the afternoon on January 8th. It's got to be God whispering into your heart. And so, I want you to know that this heart for the house is so important to your life and to the purpose of God. If this is not your church, then I want you to go to your church and put your heart in it. And serve and grow and flourish. But if this is the place, then be planted, be dedicated. You can't be a spiritually mature believer and not be planted in the house of God. Sometimes people will say that to me at many times. I'm even surprised they actually even say it to me. But people's like, oh, I don't go to just one church. And I go to like four of them, and I just five. Or, you know, I just go led by the Lord every week. And I just get up on Sunday morning, Lord, where do you want me to go? So I just came to see you guys today. And, you know, to me as a pastor, I try to be nice and smile and, you know, encourage people. But inside I'm thinking, this person's telling me I'm dedicated to a shallow Christian experience and temporary relationships. That's how I'm doing it. I don't mean to offend anybody, but that's causes spiritual immaturity. And I know spiritually immature people get offended really easily, so I'm sorry if that happened. But listen, I'm not trying to make you happy today. I'm trying to lead you. I'm trying to give you the word of God to build strength in your life. Okay. I'm going to ask the band to come up, and I'm going to tell you two things, and we're going to close. One thing is, please listen to what God might be saying to you today. Because I want to tell you, first of all, if you are not part of another church, I want to ask you, I want to challenge you to give us a year. Give us 1 year of your life starting today. I'm asking you to give us a year that you find out what we do and get involved. You know, pray for 21 days. You know, so what's next? You know, get in a small group, serve, whatever. We find out what goes on here. Come every weekend and try it for a year. Honor God with your giving. Give God a year to give you the best year you've ever had. Now, I said this last year in January. I said it every weekend in January, give us a year. And in the last few weeks, because it's the end, December, January, I've had people talk to me about the year that they had and how awesome it is. And here's what I would say to you. If it comes to December 2012 and you've been sincere and honest and you put your heart in the house and you have a horrible experience, then you should go somewhere else. That's what I would do. If I was going to a church for a year and I've been business and I was going there and worshiping and giving and all that, and my life was messed up, I'd go somewhere else. But here's what I believe that you'll do, and this is what I'm dedicated to, is that you'll say, man, I've had some good times. I had a few struggles here this year, but God has been faithful, and I'm happier than I've ever been. I'm stronger than I've ever been. Thank God for His blessing in my life. I preached this last night at our 6 o'clock service, and this woman came up to me in the lobby, and she goes, hey, I just want to tell you, you know, you talked about committing for a year, and that's what you did with me last year, and I committed for a year, and I just felt like I should tell you. And she goes, and I don't know if you remember this, but I walked up to you in a Chipotle in Hollywood, and I go, I know, you bought my burrito, I remember that, because she did. She walked up and goes, are you Pastor Philip? And I said, yeah. She goes, I want to buy your lunch. And so she did, and then we started talking, and she asked me a couple questions. I said, you know what you need to do is give the Oasis a year. And put your heart into it and see what God might do. And so she's talking about what her passions were. And so I said, well, what? She's talked about teenagers, youth. I said, well, why don't you go talk to Justin, get involved in the youth ministry and see what God will do. See who you could bless there. And she goes, I just want to tell you, my year has been amazing. Just like anybody else, I've had some difficult times, but I got a better job. I'm living in a better place. I feel like I'm making a difference in people's lives. And I just feel so strong in my faith. And I wanted to let you know that. And if I heard that once, I've heard it like 5 or 10 times in the last few weeks. And that could happen for you if you will do it. 20. Yeah. Go ahead. Read the Bible with us. Read through, you know, our chapter a day or whatever it is so that you can see what God will do in your life. And here's the last thing. Don't give up. Wherever you go to church, wherever you're serving God, if your faith is brand new, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up on Jesus. Don't give up on your faith. Don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on church. Don't give up on the Oasis. Keep following Jesus with all your heart. It says in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. You might have had some difficult times, but God is not finished with you yet. If you will be confident and you will keep going, he will complete the work that he's begun in you. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35 says, do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need. About a year's worth of it. Patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will and you will receive all that he has promised. That's my prayer for you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for every person here in this place. I thank you for everyone listening at church online. And God, I ask you to heal hurts in people's lives. I pray that the Holy Spirit would just fall in this place right now and the Holy Spirit would begin to minister in a personal way. I pray that hearts would be healed. That vision would be given to people's lives where they've been broken down and pushed down and abused, that now a dream is emerging, a vision is rising. There's hope because of Jesus. Lord, I pray right now that you would heal people physically. I pray that literal miracles would take place right now, that pain would go from people's bodies, that disease would leave in the name of Jesus. That injuries would be healed and people would experience the touch of Jesus on their body right now. And Lord, I pray for every person here who is a follower of Jesus that may have been through some battles. We've committed our life to Jesus, but we struggled. We've got disconnected. We've gotten weary. And I pray today is a day of renewal, a restoration for them. That today they'll stand up and say, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm getting my life back together. I'm putting my heart in God's hands. I'm going to put my heart where God's heart is. Lord, and I pray right now that people will get set free. Yeah, that people who are addicted will be set free right now. People struggling with deception and confusion and seduction and fear and anxiety and depression, that it would go in Jesus' name. That the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead would give liberty in this place. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for listening to the Oasis Church Podcast. To find out more about Oasis, including service times and directions, please visit our website at oasisla.org.